Okay. So you got stuff written down there.
I wrote words.
You know? Well, I thought I'd leave you a little room on those notes because I thought, you know, you may have things to say here.
I do.
You know, this may be the very first time we've ever sat here with printed out notes.
Yeah.
That's kind of exciting. That's a milestone.
I did my job. And I read them, so I'm ahead of Paul.
Here's the thing. You made notes.
Yes.
You put them in the content,
yeah.
The copy of mine.
Right.
I printed them out for us.
Yeah.
And you've read them.
That's right.
You have already achieved in 2017 what Paul will never achieve in 2017.
But I can touch my microphone some too,
yeah.
If you want.
Yeah, touch
right?
your microphone a little bit, and then your resolution is done for this
That's
year.
That's right.
Paul, he's still working on his.
Read the notes.
Right, read the notes, man.
Hi, my name's Alan McNish, and this is FormulaOneBlog.com.
I'm David Hobbs, and this is FormulaOneBlog.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Matchett, and you're listening to FormulaOneBlog.com.
You're listening to the audio journal of F1 Opinion, FormulaOneBlog.com podcast.
Didn't you, Ralph, about overtaking David? You heard that, didn't you?
Jack Carlos, 3 laps to pit stop, 3 laps. Got to push hard now.
Get that, Ralph? Did you hear me?
Michael is on. You're leading the race.
Ralph, acknowledge.
What up, Johnny? What up? Just about under braking at club.
Ralph, acknowledge.
Is Schumacher going to start from here or from the middle? No start. Hi, hi.
You're coming into the garage and accusing me of trying to effing kill him. It is just unacceptable.
Hello, and thank you for joining us at FormulaOneBlog.com for podcast number 506, the New Year's Resolution Show. So tonight, for your kind consideration, I, Negative Camber, or Todd, as I'm called, we are going to offer our 2017 New Year's resolutions for every team on the grid. You know, we all make resolutions at the new year. Some people make resolutions to lose weight. Others do, you know, who knows, I'm going to stop drinking and hitting my wife as much. Who knows what resolutions they may make. But we have crafted resolutions specifically for each team. But before covering those resolutions and all of that nonsense, I have to introduce my guest tonight, which of course means I don't have to go anywhere. This is what's so awesome. I haven't even left my house, folks. I'm sitting in my living room as I speak, and my guest is sitting just 3 feet away from me. It is the lovely, the redoubtable Grace. Grace, what are you doing in my neck of the woods, in my house?
I'm here for work. I'm not in your house for work, but I'm in St. Louis for work. So it worked out well to, come by and meet the family and have some pizza, which was great, and cake. And now we're going to do the podcast. Although it's weird because I think we have in Austin, 5 years ago? Three years ago? I don't know. Was the last time we were all together doing a podcast. So
I know.
I feel like
it's been forever.
I feel like I should have pots or something to make sound effects, like we're an old-timey radio show, right? Lightning.
Sound of footsteps.
Exactly.
We're Foley artists here.
That's right.
It's crazy to actually have you sitting in my living room podcasting. This is a first. 506 episodes later, we've never done a podcast together in one of our homes because there's been times I've been in DC and this is now you're in St. Louis but we've never done podcasts like that. We've done a couple on location in Austin. When I went to DC, went to a bar, but this is the absolute first. Grace actually gets to see my cats instead of hers. And so that's all fun. But Grace, all right. So for all of our listeners, how was your holiday season?
It was nice. It was great. It's nice to have a break. And when the holidays on a weekend, it's a little longer. So, it was nice to just chill and take a break and visit friends and family and, Take it easy.
That's cool. I got a slightly larger lump of coal this year.
Aww.
And so that's, I got that going for me. Now, here's, I think this really says a lot about my holiday season. I was at the mall and we were shopping, and this dude walks by wearing a pair of shorts, a hoodie that was way too tight for him, and a visor. And he was inside the mall in December.
In St. Louis, where it's cold. I can attest to that. There's snow on the ground. It is cold.
There is. Visor. Have you ever worn a visor?
No.
Who wears visors?
Nobody. NFL coaches are the only people I've ever seen wear visors. I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Just wear a hat.
Understand. Protect your whole head.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know. What do I know?
We're like, old-timey, like, Vegas card dealers, right? Isn't that the only other person that, wears visors?
I don't
know why they do
that. A bank manager in the 1800s
exactly.
Out west.
Yeah. No, normal, everyday people. No, I don't run into visors very often.
Yep. Well, I saw a guy wearing a visor, and that sums up my Christmas. So, yeah. Hey, also, over this past holiday season, we did launch a new Patreon account. If you're not familiar with that, you can go to our website. On the right-hand side, there's a big box that says Support Us at Patreon. Patreon is an online service that allows readers and listeners to support us in a more meaningful commitment on like a monthly basis. You can do $1 a month. You can do $3 a month, $5 a month. I've had several do $25 a month and $20 a month. And there's different levels and you get different things for different levels. So I'm not going to tell what the swag is that I mail out, but it's super cool. And I just gave Grace one because clearly she supports the podcast. But so for those of you that are at the swag level, you have a very exclusive prize that I mail out. I mailed one to Nigeria, two to the UK, and several around America so far. And you are the only humans that will have that piece of swag. So when you display it, you're in a very rare air. So, you know, it's great. The Patreon account, a lot of people have signed up. That's great. At least we have 40 or 50 listeners, I guess. So, which I happen to know.
We have 40 listeners.
Woo! 40 Yay! Listeners. Yay! What a milestone we've achieved. I happen to know we have more than that because we're running, you know, 2.5 million downloads, 65,000 a month. So I know we have a lot more listeners. Look, folks, if you like the podcast, I know there's more than 40 or 50 of you out there. If you like the podcast, as I said on the Patreon account, you know, we've always said, Grace, that the spirit of this podcast is exactly what you and I are doing. Mm-hmm. Two friends sitting here having a beer talking about Formula One. And I said on the Patreon account, we've done this now for over 500 episodes. Clearly, folks, we bought the first round. And all we're asking is, would you mind picking up the second round with us, mm-hmm. right? So if you're so inclined, and you don't have to spend a fortune, if there's several listeners out there and you're thinking, you know, $1 a month? That's $12 for a year. That's not much. Hey, it's huge to us. So consider it, if you will, because we just launched that and it's been very exciting. And we've really appreciated the support we've got so far. So thanks for doing that. All right, Grace, let's get on to the podcast,
right.
Shall we?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get the nonsense out of the way and then we'll get on.
That's my favorite part of the show.
I know, the banter.
The cheese, Top Chef, you know, all the conversations that everybody else hates.
I know, exactly. And everybody's like, skip the first 10 minutes of it. It sucks.
It's the best part. It's the part where I actually know what I'm talking about. The rest of it, I had to like research and pretend I know what's going on.
That's because we're talking about you.
Wine. I know a lot of that stuff, Yeah, I know me. I can do that.
Right, exactly. So, you know, that, and people always say, well, I don't know. That's how you get to know us, man.
That's right.
Come on, son. So anyway, all right, resolutions. Here is the way we're going to do this. I'm going to run down through the teams, folks, and I'm going to offer what my resolutions for the team are, but I'm not going to stop there because Grace is going to offer what she thinks the New Year's resolutions for this team are, and we're going to alternate. But at the end of this podcast, we have a very special section for our awards. You know we always hand out awards at the end of the podcast. Well, at the end of this one, the awards are a little different, so you don't want to miss that. So if you're only going to listen to through about Sauber and then you're going to bail out on the podcast, you're missing some fun awards. So don't do that. Listen to the whole thing. All right.
If you made it to Sauber, just keep listening.
Just keep
going. It's going
to
be 5 more minutes. I mean, you made it through most of the show.
I know. If you made it to Sauber, you know we're going to to phone it in for Renault and Manor.
Right,
just keep
right.
listening.
Just keep going. Yeah. You've made it through the hard part.
You're almost there.
Right.
So, all right, let's start with Mercedes, shall we, Grace? First off, I seriously think that Mercedes, their first resolution should be to lose weight. And I'm not talking about physical weight, although that would help the chassis. But I'm talking about the weight of the attitude and ego weight from their drivers and team bosses. Look, Lewis will be nursing a bruised ego after losing to Nico in 2016. And with Valtteri coming in, if rumors are true, which I think they are, he'll be keen to show the Finn that he's got his feet on the desk at Mercedes. But what the team can't afford is for a spunky Finn trying to prove his merit by beating Lewis, because that's not going to go well. If he thought he had issues with Nico, I'm telling you, I think there's a side of Valtteri that isn't putting up with any of that crap. And I think he's going to be there. He's got a lot to prove at Mercedes. And this is going to be his big, big chance to win a title. You know, he's got the best car on the grid. So I think that's first. Mercedes' resolution for me, number two, well, that should be to finally make Nicky an executive chairman of the team instead of the non-executive chairman that we've all read about for years, right?
So we can just tell people that this is a shit box and it's meaningful and it's, as opposed to now where it's just right, quotes, right?
Right,
it really
right,
is a meaningful
right,
thing.
Right, when he says, oh, this is total bullshit, that's a shit box,
yeah,
you know, people are going to say, oh, well, we got to take that seriously.
We got to do something about it now.
Right, right, exactly. I have to admit that I find Nicky hilarious, and if he were an actual manager in the company, the team would spend half its time trying to put out fires that Nicky starts while trying to put out fires that Lewis starts the other half of their time. So that, to me, would be funny. I think that would be hilarious. Also, my final resolution for Mercedes, Grace, has to be finding a replacement for Patty Lowe, should he go to Williams, or at least try to convince him to stay with, like, a, I don't know, a Lolly of the Month Club subscription, or maybe a really nice Mercedes visor, you know?
Right, right.
That
to
might
go
be
with
good.
His shorts and his too tight sweatshirt.
Exactly.
I gotcha.
You see Patty Lowe walking around in Adidas slippers. He's got those sandals, those Adidas sandals.
Yeah, no, I do not see Patty Lowe walking around the pit lane. I would like to. It would be hilarious.
It'd be hilarious.
But no, I don't think that's his style.
Could you see him with those dark blue Adidas sandals, white socks on, crew socks?
Right.
He'd have the pair of, like, basketball shorts on,
right,
a hoodie that's too tight, and his Mercedes visor. That would be awesome.
Man.
That would be so cool. So I think you should kill two birds with one stone, if you ask me. I say take the nameplate off of Patty's door and replace it with Nicky's name, and now he has an official role. So he could actually replace Patty Lowe. Now that, Grace, would be hilarious. Nicky Lauda, technical boss of Mercedes.
Not so good for Mercedes. I don't think that's going to help their season, and maybe that's the point, right? It would be hilarious. Again, not a good technical move,
right,
but very entertaining for the rest of us.
You can see those technical meeting post-race debriefs, and they're in the meeting, you know, Toto says, well, okay, well, what were we struggling with the car? And Nicky says, stole the bullshit?
Yeah.
It's a shit box.
Especially because Toto Wolff will have, like, you know, an 18-word sentence in about six sentences, and then Nicky Lauda will just say four words and walk out of the room.
Right.
That'll be the extent of that conversation.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah. So, Grace, what were your New Year's resolutions for Mercedes?
Well, speaking of Toto Wolff, I think he needs to step away from the Magic 8-Ball. So, you know, we used to joke back in the Honda days when Nick Frye was running Honda that the team was run by the Magic 8-Ball because you never understood what they were doing, and Nick Frye would just say the craziest things, and you were like, really? So then when Ross Brawn took over the team, I'm pretty sure they mothballed it. But now, I think that they found it again. I think that Mercedes was digging around in some old cupboards and they found the Magic 8-Ball, because I'm pretty sure Toto Wolff doesn't have an inner monologue. I think he just says whatever and it just comes right out his mouth. Like, there's no, well, what should I say to the press today? No, whatever he's thinking at that moment, out it comes. So it's just like, shake, shake, shake. Oh, let's go speak to the media. Okay, let's go say that. And it's just like, and I mean, we won't have Ron Dennis. I think that Toto Wolff is totally taking that place like long rambling quotes where you're like, I don't know what you said, but whatever you said, I think you could have said it in like three words, right?
Shake, shake, shake. Get down.
Exactly, exactly. So he needs to find his inner monologue and just let the Magic 8-Ball go. Put it back in the muck.
I like that.
Yeah. I think my resolution too was, this drives me nuts. Stop manufacturing the drama. This is really to every team, but you know, Mercedes is a big, you know, they do this a lot. Every driver pair is not Senna and Prost. And every time some driver, I'm looking at Todd right now, we're not Senna Prost. Like, it's okay. Right. Like, you're not going to have that. And I'm still going to watch. There is never going to be another Senna Pros. There was only one. And drivers aren't like that anymore. And I think that, yes, the sport has changed, et cetera, et cetera. And we can want that. But even if the sport was the same, you're not getting another Senna Pros. So stop trying to manufacture it. It annoys me. It's like, you know, every new driver is the next Michael Schumacher. Like, at least we've stopped with that. But just let people be people. And yes, there was tension between Lewis and Nico. There was some, you know, some hats thrown around. But they are not Senna and Prost. I'm pretty sure that neither of them threw hats at each other, right? Like, punches maybe, but they were no hat throwing.
No, they threw cars at each other.
Yes, exactly, right? So I hate the whole manufactured drama. We don't need it. Just make the racing good. People will watch it. It doesn't have to be a soap opera. This is a NASCAR, right?
Right.
So let go of the drama. And then finally, I think just let Lewis be Lewis. Mm. I think he's fine. I know that everybody likes to say, oh, his ego's this, his ego's that, and he's flying around here, and he's hanging out with Rihanna and whatever. As long as he can drive the car and he's successful, I don't care. He's going to have a big ego. He's an athlete. They all have big egos. But, you know, I feel like this comes up all the time in football. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is the same way. Just let it be. He's an emotional guy. He's gonna do great on the field. And when he does great, celebrate. And everybody's excited. And when he doesn't do well, he kicks the net. And then everybody makes a big deal about that, too. He's an emotional guy, right? It's okay. So I think, you know, just let him be. And, you know, stop with the, like, oh, you know, this hemming and hawing about, oh, Lewis this, Lewis that. Lewis is fine. He's figured it out. It's not Mercedes anymore. He's grown up, right? Just let it be.
Yeah.
So just let Lewis be Lewis.
Just let him be. Let him be Lewis.
That's right.
Okay. I'll go to the wall with that. Let's go to Red Bull, shall we? We're going to turn the page.
That's right.
On the second page of notes. How about that?
We have notes. We have multiple pages of notes.
I know. Mean, multiple pages.
It's amazing
even.
What happens when I actually do what, you know, Todd asked me to do.
We actually write stuff out.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy.
I think about what I'm going to say before I say. Unlike Toto Wolff, I actually had an inner monologue.
Get down. You do.
Put some stuff down.
So for Red Bull, I think Red Bull resolution number one has to be make Adrian Newey sign a cease and desist agreement in which he'll stop talking about banning wind tunnels and CFD. Because, hey, look, folks, the reality is with a Renault power unit, it's Red Bull's chassis that will make the single most important issue or difference in 2017. He's going to need all the wind tunnel and CFD time he can use. So telling the press that I think we ought to ban wind tunnels, ban CFD, I think we ought to ban chassis, you know? So I think that would be a good start. You know, you need Adrian to stay on the wind tunnel, stay on the aero, because that is all they got going into next season. And they did a hell of a job with it last season. Their second resolution for 2017, I think, should be to maximize Max and milk that career for all it's worth, baby, because that kid's got talent. I've seen it. You should get yourself an education and get out of here. Oh, sorry. I've been watching too much. It's a Wonderful Life. No, that kid's got incredible talent, and they need to make hay while the sun shines. And so I think that that's important. However, resolution number three must be engaged, and that means they've got to figure out how to manage and what to do with Daniel Ricciardo and how he fits in the team and work on strategies that can keep both drivers in the hunt while being the hounds to Mercedes's Fox. They should avoid running Danny on the, quote, alternate strategy as a foil to Mercedes for Max, because that is not going to go over well. If you thought there was fireworks with Nico and Lewis,
right.
if Daniel it becomes the sacrificial alternate strategy as a foil for Max, that is not going to go over, because that guy is the smiling assassin. So, and that actually dovetails with your first resolution.
Yeah, you know... Absolutely. My first resolution was quit mucking with Ricciardo's strategy, right? I think that, you know, you don't have a team where you have an A and B driver. You have two A drivers, right? So don't try to make, you know, Ricciardo be a B driver, because Max won't play the B driver. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
You need to either get them in two separate teams. Like, well, you're not going to do that. So you have to figure out how you're going to let them both be A's. You don't have an A and B driver. And, you know, I don't know. There's some part of Red Bull that just, you know, doesn't make sense to me, right? I mean, you have what every team wants, right? You have smart people on the grid, you have continuity, and you have two solid drivers. You can do this, right? You have everything in place to do this, to beat Mercedes. So get it together and right, stop mucking with Ricciardo's strategy. Let him race, let him do well, and let it fall out between him and Max.
Yeah, they got to figure out how to have two ways.
Right. And yeah. So, and then my second resolution was let Max be Max. I love it. I think that when you have all the other drivers complaining about your driving and yet there's nothing you're doing that's getting you in trouble legally, right? You're winning.
Yeah.
Right. You figured out how to skirt the rules to be better than other people and yet they're all mad at you. So if I was Max Verstappen, I'd be like, that's right. I'm doing this right. I figured something out that they haven't figured out and they're mad at me. And the more mad they are, the better I'm doing.
Right.
So I think that he should continue to be ruthless, continue to win races, be hated, be Max Verstappen. I think that he's got something. And the more Vettel's mad at him, every time Vettel says, you know, oh, he cut the corner, oh, he did this or who he did this and I don't like it, who does he think he is? I'd be like, I'm Max Verstappen, that's right, and I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
So I think keep at it, man. I think that you're the plucky team for a reason, and the more they're mad at you, the better you're doing.
That's exactly right.
So just keep on it.
Yeah, I agree. Moving to Ferrari, my first resolution that Ferrari should have is to do what they did this week. Get the FIA to ban the Frick system that Mercedes uses and the Red Bull trick suspension that they're using, and then do that by actually telling or asking the FIA if your planned system breaks the rules. I mean, that was a typically cunning move by Ferrari. It's typical.
You want Ferrari to be Ferrari. Ferrari, did you forget who you are?
Right, right.
Get everybody else's stuff banned and then get your thing in there.
Right. Yes. So Ferrari came out and said, yeah, we've got our own suspension system that operates much like Frick, and we just want to make sure that it would be compliant with the regulations. And we feel that our system could run afoul of these two points in the regulations, basically labeling what they feel Mercedes' system is, breaching. So the FIA comes back and says, yep, if you did those two things, we think you'd be in violation of the regulations. Ferrari's, yep, thank you, because that's what Mercedes is doing.
That's
so
right.
So now they've created a little bit of suspension row. And if that's one of the weaknesses of the chassis last year, then they've got to get on top of it. Whether or not they have their own secret suspension trickery is pointless. It doesn't matter.
Oh, but that's just what Ferrari does. I mean, that's like, don't forget, remember who you are, right? Don't forget your roots, Ferrari.
Right.
This is what you do best.
Right, right. Exactly. So I think that is that's a good resolution. Second resolution would be to get Sebastian Vettel on a 12-step help program designed to reduce his potty mouth to words such as poopy, crummy, and tell Charlie to step off.
It just doesn't have the same ring to it, man.
Well, I'm just saying, everybody was so horribly offended by Sebastian's potty mouth. So,
I'm pretty sure that they're potty mouthing it all the time. It's just that's the one we happen to get to hear, which was also done on purpose. But
exactly. That's the one the FIA chose to play.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, right? Right. I just think that, I'm sure there's a lot of potty mouth going on.
Right. Resolution number three for Ferrari has to be to get a commitment from Sergio Marchionne that he'll stop mucking about with the team and placing unrealistic expectations on them, as well as offer to increase the team's budget in a year that will see a return to the development war all season long. And if they need to sell, Maserati or Alfa Romeo to do it, then so be it. Sell those things, get some cash for Ferrari, and because who buys those cars anyway, Grace? You know? Ferrari needs money for development. There you go. Sell Chrysler. I don't know. Whatever. But get money into Ferrari so they can win.
You need them to make money.
Yeah.
Selling Chrysler, I don't think it's going to do that for them.
Right. So that's my thoughts on Ferrari. What are yours?
So I think that my first resolution isn't that different from yours. I was just less poetic about it. So my first is get your collective heads out of your asses already. I mean,
well, it's putting a fine point on it.
I'm just saying, right? That's what I'm saying. Yours was a little nicer, but I think we're saying getting at the same point here. I mean,
you're saying decolonize their heads.
Exactly,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on over there. You know, I always joke that usually it's McLaren who do a really good job of shooting themselves in the foot. Like, McLaren will do really well, and then they do something stupid to themselves. That seems to be Ferrari's job now. And so,
right.
You know, I don't know. Ever since, you know, Marchionne came in and replaced Luca D., it just hasn't been going so well over there, you know, and I just think that you know, every time Vettel gets unhinged, and that's never good, right? When somebody gets, when a driver gets unhinged at their team about their team in public, that's never a positive, right?
Good.
These are things that happen behind closed doors.
Right.
You can be as angry at your boss as you want, but when you're in a meeting together with your boss and you yell at your boss in public, that's very different than behind closed doors when we had this conversation.
Right.
So, you know, it's just concerning. I mean, I am not a Ferrari fan, but if I was, that to me is always a thing. And then you can see this. I use the comparison between Alonso and Vettel. You know, Alonso's at McLaren. If anybody should be angry out loud in public at somebody, I feel like it should be Alonso. And it didn't seem to be that way at all. But Vettel's, you know, outward demeanor just, you know, I think really shows how angry he is at that team. And that I also, again, there are several things that I read some auto magazines, you know, I read Motorsport. If one more person, and I know this is always a thing and there's always a driver that they always accuse of this, and it used to be Ralf Schumacher, but if one more person says, oh, Vettel's just a spoiled baby who's throwing his toys out of the pram, it drives me nuts. He's a grown man and he has a problem, and it's okay that he says out loud, hey, my team sucks, right? Or,
right.
Hey, this is a problem. That he's not a whinging baby because he's calling his team out. Drives me nuts that if anybody has any slight emotion, oh, they're just a baby throwing their toys out of the pram. And the media love to throw that around. But, I mean, he's a highly competitive driver, and he's frustrated. And this is his dream team. And I think that, you know, right, he had Michael Schumacher on his wall as a kid, right? And so to me, it just feels like, you know, if you dreamed of playing with Kobe at the Lakers, and you suddenly get there, and Kobe's retired, and now you're playing with Swaggy P. You're not winning. Your team's a mess. You know, they're a bunch of showboaters. It could crush you. I just feel like Vettel's being crushed. And, you know, maybe Alonso saw the writing on the wall and left. I don't know.
It could be. You know, Bernie Ecclestone just came out in Bild, I think it was today or yesterday, and said, you know, look, the problems over there aren't Sebastian.
Right.
He said he's doing the best he absolutely can.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is the Ferrari as a team is letting him down. They got a crap product, and they're, in his words, not mine, they're too Italian.
Wow, yes.
Yeah.
You know, right?
But Bernie can say that and get away with it. I can't. But.
No, that's right. I think that all of that speaks to the same thing, that you're crushing the guy. You're crushing one of the best drivers that's on the field right now. I think that's meaningful, and he's not just a whinging baby.
I agree.
Ferrari needs to get their act together. Whatever that takes, get your shit together, figure it out, man. My second resolution for the team is a lot shorter. That's because I wanted to bring back Vroom. That is never going to stop being a resolution because, you know, if you're a longtime fan of the show, this is always a favorite mid-January event.
Yes.
I don't get to go, but I look forward to it. It gives us some fashion to talk about. I don't care. Why are they not doing it? Really? How much could this cost?
Yeah.
Well, that's somebody's villa, you know? Maybe it was Luca's villa. Come on, you know?
Rent it from him.
A little bit, let him ski down the hill. We have room again, and, you know, it would make me a lot happier. So.
I said a few podcasts ago, I think you can draw a real distinct line from Ferrari's lack of wins to when they canceled Vroom.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. See,
it's a cause and effect right there, Grace.
Absolutely. I work in statistics. That's absolute cause and effect. So I think that, you know, if you're not going to spend your resources to make your team better, could you at least get us some, like, Kimi Räikkönen skiing down the slopes and drinking some hot chocolate later with the kids, right? I mean, like, I'm not asking for much here, but bring back Vroom. You know, what are you doing with your money? Because you're clearly not making the team work.
Right.
So, right. Get us some skiing. Get us some pictures.
I like it. It's good. I'm all for Vroom. All right. Next up, Force India. My first resolution for Force India should be to send a Harry and David fruit basket to Mercedes for cheaper engines in return for handing Hulk's seat to Esteban Ocon. So, you know, I'm thinking, wow, all right. So if I give Ocon Hulk's old seat here at Force India, I get free or cheap engines. All right, well, that's good because that team just won fourth in the championship. And reducing their engine expense is a big deal to this team and could very well mean they could go a long ways of trying to defend that fourth place in 2017. So I think a nice Harry and David fruit basket,
you know, to say to Executive Chairman Niki Lauda, best wishes for 2017. Thanks for the free engines.
Right. Thanks for not being total bullshit. We appreciate it. And
thanks for the scrap, stupid.
Yeah,
just especially takes what he wants.
This is a team that actually uses its resources to the team. So, they're actually doing something
right
there.
Right. So I think that that's good. The second resolution, I would say, should be to actually dig a tunnel from VJ's exile home in the UK to the factory so he can come and go freely without being watched by police or extradition agents from India. I think that would be good. And the tunnel could have like a little car that he would lay down on with four wheels so VJ could lay down on it. And they could even have Donald Pleasance at the other end pull the rope to make it easier for him to get to the other side. And I think that that would be good. And in the case of the police or the extradition agents, you know, raiding his home, they need to have a motorcycle there so he can jump on and get away from it. He just can't try to jump barbed wire fences. That wouldn't be good.
No.
So, and I think that that would be a good. So a tunnel from VJ's exile home to the factory would be good. You know, the team would like to see him once in a while, I think. So the other resolution should be to make sure they do whatever it was they did in 2016, because that crap worked.
Yeah.
All right? They got fourth in the championship. That was awesome. So what did you find for Forsythia?
I think if my resolution for Ferrari was get your shit together, my resolution for Forsythia is keep your shit together, right? Right? Just keep doing what you're doing. This is amazing, right? I mean, there's always room for improvement, but you have a solid team. You've been, you know, to me, Force India, since they've started, has always been the team to watch, right? They have every reason to be successful. You want them to be successful. And when they weren't successful, it was always kind of like, you know, get it together. What's your problem? So I think that despite ups and downs that they've had in the past, they've done well. They're going to continue to do well. And, you know, on the season review, you made them your star team, and I couldn't agree more. So don't muck up 2017. Whatever you're doing, keep doing. Don't muck it up.
Right.
Similarly, have a backup plan for VJ Malia, because, that doesn't seem to be going so well. And so, you know, whether or not they build him that El Chapo tunnel to Silverstone, they better have a plan B for that guy, because, again, he's on some thin ice and things aren't looking so good for him. I just feel like, I listen to NPR on the way to work. And when I hear a story about VJ Malia on NPR, I'm like, whoa, like, this is not just things I know about. Clearly other people know about this guy too. And plan B would be good. We should.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're hearing about VJ on NPR stories that have nothing to do with Formula One, there's a problem.
Yeah. That's mentioned like, you know. 4 minutes into the story, they mentioned that he has a Formula One team. That's not even top of the crimes, or, you know, the top of the list of things.
It couldn't have been Diane Reams, was it?
No.
Okay.
She just retired.
I heard that.
Yeah. No, this was just, you know, the morning news on the way in.
Yeah,
but,
gotcha.
You know, it was just it was one of those like, hey, I know that guy. I don't actually know him, but, you know, it's rare that those kind of worlds collide.
It is rare.
I know. Formula One people don't show up on NPR. But yeah, I like the idea of building an El Chapo tunnel to Silverstone, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then finally, my third one, is Perez. McLaren, as I was stating earlier, is always the best at shooting themselves in their own foot. And I think this is a big, big, example of that. Like, come on, man. I mean, Sergio Perez has got it. He's the real deal. We do like his pace, right? And
do we like it? Do you like my pace? Yes, we do like it.
It's hilarious. We do like it. And so, I don't want them to muck that up either. And, don't hold back Perez. You want to keep this guy shining.
Mm-hmm.
I think keeping him at Force India is not a bad idea. I don't know where he would go. And I was trying to think of like a poetic way of saying this, but I don't know what it is. Like, to me, I think that's the sweet spot, right? You want to be at a successful mid-level, bottom of the top pack, because you still have room to grow. You still have room to shine, you know, right? I guess, you know, if you just roll into Mercedes, it's always going to be the Michael Schumacher kind of like, well, if he was at any other team, how good would he be, right?
Yeah,
you're actually going to show us how good you are. We're actually going to see that, because you aren't at whoever the top team is.
Right.
Just roll into a good car and do really well. It's not that simple, but, you know, that's the way people make it sound. So,
well, they do, but, you know, and they say that, mm-hmm. a lot of times, and they'll say, well, you know, yeah, clearly, Vettel, you just walked in and had the best car at Red Bull.
I don't know who blah, 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 blah.
I guess that didn't apply for Lewis, who walked into the best car in 2007 at McLaren, and who walked into a Mercedes that was on song, not the previous 3 years where Schumacher and Rosberg toiled away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's a different world.
It doesn't apply to Lewis.
But, so I think that, to me, I think this is a sweet team, a sweet spot for Perez, that he's had a good team, a strong team, but not the top team.
Yeah.
So he won't get that kind of slack, and we'll really get to see him race and, you know, build up some more, you know, credit, because I really think he should be at a top team.
Yeah, he should be. I mean, I have to think that he should be a target or at least an option at McLaren. I think it should be an option at Ferrari if Kimi retires, you know?
I love the idea of him going back to McLaren. Maybe they should have Alonso and Perez. Like,
no, there you go.
People who we screwed over the first time, and we're bringing back the second time, right? Oh my God! I don't know, like an ex significant other or something. Like, oh, maybe you don't still look so bad now that I dated a few other people. Right.
Everything's looking good.
Yeah, your rebound driver. I don't know, but I do kind of like the idea of Alonso and Perez and McLaren.
That'd be a good combo.
Yeah,
it would. All right, Williams F1. So. Let's see, resolution number one for Williams, in my mind, has to be figuring out a way to remotivate a guy who mentally retired at the end of 2016. And they're going to have to reheat his career while trying to suss out Lance Stroll in the process in their meteoric rise to mediocrity in 2017. It's a bizarre situation. I wrote an editorial piece in which I dared Grace to question a woman in Formula One. And, but I, you know, Claire said, hey, you know, we don't put stake into anybody, any driver who can't deliver. Right. Thinking, well, Massa was 11th in the championship. Bottas was 8th. So what are you telling me?
Right.
Because Massa doesn't score the points at Ferrari. That's why he let him go. And he wasn't scoring points at Williams last year. That's why you had Bottas. You just let your top driver go.
You don't have to convince me to get rid of Massa, right?
Right.
He's been my first out for like the last five years consecutively. Right. Like, I'm on the get rid of Massa boat.
And then you're telling me, well, we have serious ambition and serious performance to prove. And I'm thinking, well, you've got an 18-year-old rookie who's never driven a Formula One car and a guy who actually retired and who was 11th in the championship. So I don't know. They're going to have to figure something out there. That doesn't give me warm fuzzies heading into 2017. Also, their second resolution has to be stop getting beaten on and off the track. You know, first they had Force India beats them like a dirty rug on a spring day and for fourth in the championship. And then they fold like a chaise lounge when Mercedes shoves them around by poaching Bottas and offering cheaper free engines for 2017, forcing them to call back Massa, who hasn't been scoring points regularly. So they've got to, whether it's on track or off track, somebody needs to say, you know what? We're going to start winning, all right? Whether it's our moves and business moves off the track or whether it's our performance on the track, we're going to start winning, not just existing. And I think that's what people want to see Williams do. If I'm Claire, if I'm Sir Frank, it's about existing.
Right.
Because I got payroll to make and it's a business for me. And so we're going to do whatever to do to keep the black, keep the balance sheet positive, and move forward. I get it. I do.
Right.
But it's not Williams that we're used to, right?
No. And so I think, first of all, my resolutions needed more metaphors because it was pretty good that you fit two in one resolution. I didn't use any. But to me, right, Williams was the hardest. I think when I got to that spot where I really got stuck, right? Because it's what you're talking to. It's Williams. We've said this, I swear, every day since 2003 when they won their last race. And 2002, I don't know, somewhere in there, right? But, you know, you want them to win. They're Williams, right? That you feel them in your heart. You want them to do well, and they're just not doing that. And so to me, I think that this is always the hardest because it's always this battle between my heart and my brain about what to do with Williams. But, you know, I don't ever want to see them leave. I don't want to see them go. But I don't want to see this either, right? I mean, this is not how I want to remember Williams. They were doing so well a couple seasons ago. You know, we had some hope, and now that's been ripped from us too. So, I mean, they were just crushed. Force India crushed them in the mid-season, and, you know, and my, I can't, I, you know, again, I've been wanting Massa to be out since he was still a Ferrari. You know what I mean? This is, there's no love lost, and plenty of people tell me, yes, he's a nice guy.
He's an awesome guy.
Felipe Massa, nice guy. Get him out of the car. I'm a nice person, too. I shouldn't be in a Formula One car. These two things are not the same.
They aren't cause and effect.
No, right. Not at all. Not like Vroom and Ferrari success. That is total cause and effect. This has nothing to do with it. Right. I'm just saying that Moss has not been doing it. I don't think he's this great developmental driver. And finally, he's retiring. He retired in such a great way. And you're bringing him back. Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't find anybody else. You're bringing back Massa. So, I don't know. So, I guess my resolution, my first one was, get more points, right?
Yeah.
I told Todd that when he sent me this concept a couple days ago, that I'm going to do something more than just drive faster, right? But for Williams, you get more points. I don't know that I have anything more poetic there, but you got to do it. Massa's still going to be Massa. And, you know, it's not Massa's fault, and yes, he's a nice dude, but come on, your team is middling, below the middle, and he's not spectacular, and he retired, and I don't know. I know people that I've worked with that have retired. Coming back isn't usually what they want to do, right?
No, and I think it's got to be a mentally, because he mentally checked out.
So I think of my, like, mere mortal job.
Yeah, right.
People don't want to come back.
Right.
You know, right?
Right.
You retired.
Right.
I can't imagine an athlete, someone who spent so much of their life doing this, right? Because they do this since they were 2 or 4 or 10, if you're Nick Heidfeld. But you've been doing this for a long time, and to finally say, you know what, I'm done, I'm walking away from it, and that I'm not defined by my job in the same way a Formula One driver is or any athlete.
Right.
When you finally get to the point that you're out and you're done, to be drugged back in, you're right. I can't imagine mentally.
It's tough.
How you could do it, how you could rejoin that circus.
I don't either.
And so I don't know how they're going to get more points. Maybe they can sneak into Force India's garage in the evenings and just pull some wires out, steal their spark plugs, right? I don't know. Stick some eggs in the tailpipe, something. But you got to get more points, man.
Make an anonymous call to extradition agents and, you know, have VJ, you know, arrested at the grocery store
in the El Chapo tunnel. Right?
Yeah, in the Chapo.
Just have the police waiting in Silverstone at the other end.
Yeah,
of the
other
opening,
end.
Right.
Wait, you're not Donald Pleasant. No,
we're the police.
We're the police.
Yeah, that something. You've got to come up with something, whatever that is. Williams, get more points, and then figure out how you're going to compete with Force India. I think that, you know, if they could, maybe they're at the point where they could just get one victory, and by victory I mean doing better than Force India, certainly not winning or getting on the podium, but just enough to get you some momentum, enough to get you points, some money, so that you could do better.
Some dignity.
Gosh, see, that's what I'm saying. That's why this was the hardest.
Everything
in my mind was, like, so mean, and I was like, oh, it's Williams, right? It's like kicking a puppy. I felt like, you know.
I know.
I can't crush
that's,
him.
That's why the title of my editorial is that, gosh, is it okay to disagree with Claire? I hate doing it. And somebody's like, you're just picking a fight. No, I'm not. I think the world of Claire. But it's just like, come on, man.
Yeah. So,
come on, son.
That's right. I think just that should be your goal. Take it to Force India. Push Force India. Maybe get ahead of them in a couple races. And you could call 2017 a season.
I agree. Let's go to your team, shall we? That would be McLaren. I have not seen hide nor hair of Ron Dennis since they kicked him out. And I'm wondering, has anybody dragged that lake lately?
That's horrible.
Well, you don't know.
Can we swim with the fishes?
Well, you don't know.
Some cement shoes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
hey, we found the rest of the technical manual. It's in the bottom of the lake.
Next to Ron.
Right.
It's like, you don't know. Maybe Mansoor was really angry. I don't know.
You know, he can't stay hidden for long, that's for sure. I can't imagine. Ron
got a floater.
He'll show up somewhere. He should go to Mercedes. Like, he should just show up at some other team.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
That would be great.
Right. So, my first resolution for McLaren should be pretty obvious. I don't even have to say what the first obvious resolution for McLaren is. I think you all know, all right? So, the second one is... It should be to figure out a way or figure out what the hell they're going to do in the boardroom so the rest of the team can get on with focusing on the car and actually freaking racing, right? Yeah. I have no idea what Ron and Mansoor are doing, but 2016 turned into a bad voyage to visit King Tina, only to see Captain Ron Bly mutinied against by the wily and recent double lung transplantee Mansoor Fletcher Christian. For crying out loud, I'm serious, the boardroom stuff has to weigh on the rest of the team like a two-ton heavy thing. Now, what the heck are they going to do? I mean, are they going to go around the horn again? I mean, what are they going to do here? You know, they've got to figure this stuff out. Nobody acts as Ron Dennis and just mildly gets on with their day-to-day business. Because, you know, when Ron walks, the earth shakes. And sometimes people fall down, Grace.
Nobody understands what he's saying, but the earth is shaking.
Absolutely. Nobody understands. But my point is, all the boardroom wars for struggle and control in this company is a damn shame, because I think that is playing a toll on the whole Honda relationship, the chassis development, everything that's going on. They had Jos Capito, the head of VW Motorsport, who had an incredibly successful run with their rally program. Ron hired him. He started in September. Yeah, he's gone. I mean, this is just comical at this point. That guy's a sharp guy, you know? So anyway, I don't know. They've got to get their house in order over there. Resolution 2 should be to force Honda to watch videos of their last attempt in Formula 1 as a works team, along with Toyota's attempt as a work team, and explain to them that the series cannot be won when engaged in a car-by-committee process. And a nice Harry and David fruit basket. So they've got to get Honda to understand, we can't have 300 people trying to design this damn thing. We've got to get on top of this and get this power unit where we are. I even read a story this week where the head of Honda's program at McLaren said, I was kind of surprised at the performance advantages the other teams had, Mercedes and stuff. I was like,
have you been
what?
Sleeping?
What are you watching? IndyCar? What are you watching?
Right. You know what's on everybody's television? We all see this.
That's magic. We all know that it's an evolution. I mean, come on, man. This is not that difficult.
Or at least don't say those things out loud. Yeah. Again. Shake, shake, shake. Oh, you know, like do you not have an inner monologue? Do you not think, what would be good for me to say out loud to the whole world? That's not it.
Shake, shake, shake. Get down. Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking. So resolution number 3 for McLaren might be focus on making a good chassis and stop blaming Honda for everything. Because when and if Honda actually does deliver the power, folks, that chassis better be ready to run. And if it isn't ready to run, I wouldn't want to be Eric Bouya. That's all I'm saying. So, it's your team, Grace. What do I know?
I don't think I disagree with anything that you said. My first resolution, suck less. You fired Ron Dennis, and it was pretty much like you see in other sports, like in football or basketball. Like, team's not doing so well, you fire the coach, right? We don't really think about team principals as coaches in that same sort of way, but I think that's absolutely what happened. The team sucks, somebody's got to go, it's always the coach. Ron Dennis is out of there.
Right.
But, you know, they're a team of smart people. They have Fernando freaking Alonso as the driver, right? You know, build a chassis that works. Stop blaming Honda. Get behind Eric Poulet and support the damn team.
Right.
Work as one. Figure out what you're doing. Like, you've done it before. You've been doing it for years. Get it together. Suck less. You know, you know how to do this. Just get out of your own way. Which I think is resolution number 2. Don't be so overly McLaren in 2017.
Right.
Again, my team, best at, you know, stepping on their own foot and making things harder for them. You know, you're bringing in a new guy. Don't let Van der Doorn be the next Perez where you, you know, oh my God, he's the best. He's going to be so great. And he's axed at the end of the year. Nobody can operate like that. You know, I live in D.C., and the Washington football team has their team owners that way, right? Dan Snyder fires everybody. You sneezed. You thought ill in your own brain. You didn't even say it out loud about Dan Snyder. Fired. He fires everybody. A team can't operate that way. You can't run a team with that kind of thing. You have to have continuity. You have to have faith in your people. That doesn't mean that you use kid gloves with everybody, but you can't be Dan Snyder about everything. You can't just throw everybody out. So
right.
You got rid of Ron Dennis. Eric Boulay's your guy now. Follow behind him. Get in line. Get it together. Suck less. Don't be so McLaren. You know, like, Ferrari, be more Ferrari. Yeah, McLaren, be less McLaren next year.
Right.
And, you know, I think their goal should be to beat Williams. I mean, I think, really, they should be taking it to Force India, right? I think that if we don't see that next year, you know, I will believe nothing until I see it. I'm happy that they're not last. Team not last is always seems to be my goal for McLaren. But, you know, Alonso's on the edge. And I think that, you know, they talked about keeping Jenson Button in case Alonso leaves. But I think this could be good. If you can get him the results he wants, you know, without him having to drive the Titanic every turn, right? Like, if you could get him a car that doesn't completely suck, isn't like driving the Titanic around, where him pushing the car is faster than the car going on its own, if you could get Alonso in a car like that, he can do this, right? You could,
Rose!
You draw me like your French ladies, right? You could get him up to Force India, and you could be a better team. You could be a team that you can be, you should be. And at this point, I'm tired of waiting for it. I'm sure Alonso's tired of waiting for it. But I think I would use that will he, won't he of Alonso to your benefit.
There,
right? You could push him and push that car into the greatness it should be.
There you go.
Don't muck it up.
So for Toro Rosso, their New Year's resolution should be to actually achieve what they said they would 2 years ago by finishing in the top six in the Constructors' Championship. Now that they have a new engine, they're going back to the Renault, and they have James Key designing the chassis. Last year they had a year-old Ferrari. We know that was down on shove. Now they're going to have the same engine as Red Bull has, and they have James Key. There's no reason they can't get back to being a really solid midfield team in the hands of Carlos Sainz. A secondary resolution might be to hire some friends to go to parties with Franz Tost so he doesn't actually look like that odd man wandering around the room looking for hors d'oeuvres.
I heard Ron Dennis is looking for a job.
Yeah, maybe Ron could go over there, you know?
Exactly.
Have you ever thought of the benefit of owning a really nice Ferrari technical manual?
Here's at the bottom of the lake.
Right. So I think Ron could be living in a van down by the lake. I think he might be. So the last resolution for the team might be to reconfirm that Daniel Kvyat's paymasters will be able to continue to pay throughout 2017 because they've passed up a lot of great talent on the grid in order to retain Kvyat. So I just want to double check that the Russian backing of Kvyat is going to come through all year long. So I think that would be important.
Yes. Keep giving us money. That is.
Exactly.
And maybe if you slip some under Williams' door, I'd be okay with that too. They seem like they could use a few, right? They just happen to blow their way. To me, I really focus on their drivers. I think that they need to have a heart-to-heart with Carlos Sainz. This is the one positive I think this team really has going for them. Keep him happy, find out what it would be to keep him happy, and keep him in the team while you make that team better. Again, you guys were talking on the review show. You know, Carlos Sainz is a real deal. He didn't seem to miss a beat at all when Max got promoted. But, you know, I'm just not sure that the long walks on the beach and the promised seat at the team, you know, at the Red Bull is really going to do it for him.
Right.
At some point, he's really going to want that seat or he's going to walk. And so I think promise him what you got to do, but it's not going to be enough. And, you know, he's going to walk. So if I was Toro Rosso, that's where I'd really be focusing my energy is keeping Carlos Sainz happy, and then replace Kvyat. You know, find that plan B. You know, either he's not as good as he thinks he is, right? I get that drivers have to be their own best cheerleaders, especially once you get to professional level of any sport. But come on, man. I just don't see it. I don't, you know, you guys didn't see it. You know, I don't think keeping it the same is what's going to work for Toro Rosso. I think I'd keep Carlos Sainz.
Mix it up.
Yeah, and get a new second driver.
I agree. For Haas F1, the New Year's resolution should be to actually remove that book, that Formula One for Dummies book, from the coffee table in Gene's office and start looking forward to actually building a car with real carbon fiber disc brakes. I think they've got to figure out what their brake issue is. And I think it's time for Gene to stop walking around and say, I don't know anything about this board.
I'm a new guy.
Oh, what about, oh, shucks, this is way out of my league.
Right.
You know, he's walking around acting like Willie Nelson in an F1. I mean, come on, son. You know, so it's just, that's a, you know, it's time to put that all shucks thing.
Right.
Because he knows what he's doing. He knows how to build race cars, and he knows how to win races. He's done a hell of a lot of that over here in the States, and I think they need to get on top of their brake issue, or somebody's going to get hurt, and it may be Roman Grosjean, so they got to get that sorted out. Also, the second resolution would be to create a virtual Goot that can stand out front of the garage and engage the press and media with that robotic charm of his, and then that way they could keep that Carlos Slim money coming. And I think that that would be really important, too. You just walk up to Haas Garage. They wouldn't have to have any drivers out, because as soon as you walk up, this little virtual Goot would come up.
Hello?
And you could say, oh, hey, it's Esteban Gutierrez. What are you doing? Nothing. You know, just you know, you just stand there and look weird, you know? So I think keeping, you know, it's unfortunate because he's gone now, and they've got Kevin Magnussen coming over, but they're missing that Gutierrez money, which I'm probably saying Carlos's name wrong. I think it might be Carlos Slim, I think, not Slim.
That has never stopped me.
It's never stopped me either.
I like to continue to use their names incorrectly, because I'm just going to stick with it. Ricky Ardo will always be Ricky Ardo. Sudo will always be Sudo. It's fine. I understand that's wrong, and I'm sticking with it.
It's like Mikko Hirvonen. Hirvonen.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm, you know, right? People can mispronounce my name too. It's fine. I don't know how, but go for it. But yeah, you're right. That probably isn't just Carlos Slim, but, you know, whatever.
What do I know?
We don't know the guy.
I don't know Carlos. No. It's probably Sleem.
Yeah. If he wants to send us some money, we'll pronounce it however he wants.
However he wants me to pronounce it. I don't care.
$25 a month, man. You can handle it.
Or he could send me a virtual Goot.
Yeah, right. That would be great, too.
Yeah. I could have my own virtual Goot. I'd just, you know, fire it up and...
You know, maybe he could do, like, the mid-January shows before testing starts where we really have nothing to talk about. Like, that's when we need that.
Right.
So maybe they could just do the show for us when it's just like, what are you drinking? Coke? Yeah, I got some wine. Huh. All right. You know, so that'd be great.
I think it'd be great. So what do you got for Haas?
So I really had two resolutions. One, don't be last. You weren't last this season. Don't be last next season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're midfield. You weren't an embarrassment. Keep that going. Don't be an embarrassment, right? Don't be last. And build a car, right? Also seems pretty self-explanatory. You did it the hard way. Now just go out, be a constructor, and build a car.
There you go. All right. That's a good resolution. Renault Sport F1. Renault's resolution for 2017 should be to actually make a chassis for a Renault engine instead of a Mercedes engine. I think that would be important. And that might help them do a little better this season. I have it on good authority that they're actually doing that, by the way. But they didn't do that last year. So Renault's second resolution to me is to make sure that Julian Palmer is bringing the exact amount needed to pay for Nico Hülkenberg, so they're break even. They're a break even operation from a driver expense point of view. So I don't know how much they're having to pay the Hulk, but they just want to make sure that Julian Palmer is bringing that much money at least to cover the Hulk expense. And then, hey, you're net neutral, man. So everything's good there. So, and much like McLaren, I think their third resolution has to be to sort out their Treadstone-like management structure over there, in which no one knows who's actually leading who and who's going to do something that will piss off Carlos Bourne, forcing him to put infinity stickers all over the yellow car next year. So I think it's got to be, you know, that's why, I think was it Perez or Carlos Sainz said, nah, man, they got management issues over there. Yeah. That's why I'm not going. So like McLaren, they got to get that sorted out, man, because that just weighs heavy on the team.
And unlike McLaren, Renault doesn't have the experience that McLaren has of this kind of chaos. So
This kind of foot shooting.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. McLaren has perfected it. Don't go down that path. Right. Figure it out. Yeah, exactly. So again, I had two resolutions. I think the first one was make some noise. When this came up, I thought, what has Renault's season been like? I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know? I don't know. No idea. I had to, like, read stuff and listen to things and figure it out. What has Renault done in 2016? Nothing. I know nothing. That is not good.
No.
Even if you're making stuff up, even if you have to put your drivers in ridiculous sets, be out there. I should know that you're still on the grid. I should still know that you're doing something.
They should have had Palmer throw a hat at Magnus or something.
Here's where you need some fake drama.
Right.
Make some noise. You have PR people. Make them do something. But right. I'm just like, oh yeah, Renault is still racing, huh? Right? That's not good. That's not a good thing. So figure out how to do it. You know, and get out there and make sure people understand that you're still out there even though you're not doing so well. And, you know, have a better 2017.
That would be good.
You know, I mean, I agree with you guys that, you know, they did the best they could with what they had, but hope is not a plan. Build a chassis that works, get your management in order, get your drivers in order, get your shit together, have a better 2017. I don't know what else to tell you, man. You know, like, nobody knows that you exist, and, yeah, you didn't do so well. And hope is not a plan. This is never a good plan. They need a plan. They don't have one, so.
It's like a carton of smokes and a better year at the Bender house.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, just, I don't know. I really had to struggle to think of, like,
I know. It's
what
tough.
Are they doing? I mean, and they are pretty far back, and so this is just like in the race reviews where you kind of get to the last three teams and you're like, well, I don't know, they finished the race, right? You know,
yeah,
you
right, run out of right, things,
but
right.
I really think that they've got to be better. They're not McLaren. They
right.
don't have the brand recognition that a McLaren has to be able to say, yeah, we suck, but you still know we're here.
Right.
You're
That's
Renault.
Right.
You can't afford to suck. Nobody remembers you're around.
I agree. I totally agree. Here's a good team, Sauber, or as Grace calls him, Sauber.
Slobber, whatever.
So Sauber's resolution to me has to be finding some way to squeeze more money out of Longbow Financial, their new owners, in order to guard their sacred 2 points that they scored in 2016. Now, the prize money payout comes when they actually defend that 10th place finish in 2017, then Sauber need that money like Roy Scheider needs an oxygen tank and a rifle. Trust me. The season will be one of massive development, and a team like Sauber could use all the money they can get, or they're going to risk being backmark or fodder again if they aren't careful. So they definitely need to guard that 10th place. They need to get some cash out of Longbow so they can develop this car throughout the season. They need that big time. Their other resolution in my mind should be to keep the Swede happy, Grace, because you don't F with the Swede.
No.
That's the reality. And the Swede, he's the Swede. And they might also chat up Mercedes for free engines in return for now humoring Mercedes by taking on board Pascal Wehrlein. Now, they've been a long-time Ferrari engine customer,
right.
But if they're going to take on Wehrlein, and it looks like Mercedes is giving away free engines like lollies over it.
Like they're Oprah?
I know.
You get an engine.
You get an engine. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You know, they're giving it. They got Force India. They got now Williams. Why not Sauber, right?
Yeah.
Hell, if I was Ferrari, I'd say, well, all right, what can
I
we do?
So too, right? Yeah.
What can we do to get a Mercedes engine, you know, for free? So, good grief. It's like meth over there. They're like cooking meth over there, giving it away. It's crazy.
Catnip Sunday at the,
it's catnip
the Mercedes
Sunday.
Factory.
So, anyway, got that going for him. I think that would be good. So, what do you think for Sauber?
So, Sauber, I also feel was a bit of a tearjerker, right? I also felt this one was hard, but they need more money. This has been dire for them for quite some time.
It has.
Every year, I feel like they're just barely hanging on by a dollar bill.
Yep.
And 2017 is going to be no different. I don't know how you get that money, but yeah, they're not going to have any success, and 2 points isn't going to bring it. They really need to figure out how to get some more money.
I agree.
And one of the ways they get more money is to have fewer DNFs, right? Keep it on the island.
Yeah.
And you need the points. Points is how you get paid. You need to move up in the rankings. Finish the race.
There you go.
I mean, again, in the race review, you guys brought that up. Like, that, there are probably times when you could have taken advantage of half the field falling off the island. Sometimes that's all you can do as a backmarker team. But they're not even finishing.
They didn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a real failure, that you can't... keep it on the island. I think
You got to be able to capitalize on the attrition.
Right.
And they just
can't
didn't.
Do that. Yeah. And maybe if you find one race where you're really successful or some weird outlier, even if you just hang out for those weird outlier, Jensen Button in the rain kind of wins, go for it. But you're not even finishing.
Right.
And that's hard. You're not competing with anybody. Just finish the race.
I agree.
You're competing with yourself. So Get more money, have fewer DNFs. Those things are related.
There you go. All right, and finally, Grace, for Manor. Well, Manor's New Year's resolution, simple. Make it to the grid in 2017. That's all I got, folks.
Yeah, I think I also went with, yeah, show up, right? Have a car. But, you know, and I think that this goes back to the Sauber point. They didn't have DNFs. Like, we all picked them for first out a lot.
Yeah, we did.
And they never do.
Right,
they're
that's
never
true.
First out. It's a bad, Manor was a bad first out pick. And about midway through the season, Tony pointed that out. So, you're doing something right. You're finishing races, or your drivers are at least not the first out. So, get on the grid, stay on the grid, don't fall off the island, you'll be ahead of Sauber. That's perhaps the best Manor can hope for.
I agree. All right, Grace, I thought we'd have fun as we close out the podcast.
These are good. I want to say that, you know, Todd sent me the list of the superlatives, and there's some very creative ones on here.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with the late night deep thoughts coming from Todd.
Yeah. So, okay. So you all know when you were in high school and you used to get your yearbook, right? And you'd go through and you'd have everybody wrote, you know, hey, Grace, it was great going to school, you know, with you this year. Stay classy, Grace, you know, XXO, right, and all that. But there was that section in the book. Sorry, I dropped my notes. That's never a good thing. You would go through the yearbook, and there's that section of the yearbook where they'd have, like, most...
Class clown, or most likely to succeed.
Most likely to succeed. Most likely to be the president. Most
cutest
likely
couple,
to... Yeah, cutest couple and all that sort of thing, right? So these are a list of, since it's the end of the year, and I think the F1 yearbook should have that section where it's the awards for the most whatevers,
or
right?
Or unlike in my actual high school yearbook, list of people I didn't talk to.
That's exactly right.
List of people I wasn't friends with.
Yeah, it's a list of people I didn't even know who mine were. I didn't know who they were. So anyway, so here we go. We're going to run through these pretty quick. And I'm going to ask the superlative, and Grace is going to give your answer, and I'll tell you who I picked. So in this 2016 yearbook, the high school yearbook for Formula One, the most likely to become the FIA president is Grace?
So I felt it was a tie, and I will put this out there. This is not because either of them would be good for the FIA or for Formula One, but could it be more entertaining? So I really wanted to be either Ron Dennis... or Niki Lauda. How much fun would that be? I mean, I like him as an executive, an actual executive of Mercedes, but I think as FIA president, could you see that? How great would that be? When he goes on his tour to the auto clubs, I just think this would be great. I'm pro Niki Lauda being FIA president. And then Ron Dennis, I just think nobody would know what's going on. And, you know, he could have his platform could be, you know, keep F1 from being first of the losers in the racing series. And Niki Lauda's could be, you know, keep everything from being a shitbox. I think that the platforms are there for their running. It's super easy. And I think both would be very entertaining choices.
That's good. I actually chose Jean Todt because I think he's a playa.
Jean Todt the playa. I may think of a lot of things. Jean Todt is ... Player was not one of them.
Oh, that was my choice. Okay, Grace. Okay. Most likely to win the 2017 driver's title.
Alonso 2017.
Oh, yeah. Woo. Yeah.
All right. I actually think it's going to be Lewis, but I will forever hold on to Alonso 08.
There you go.
This is his year. Alonso 17.
Alonso 17. I picked Lewis, too.
Yeah.
So most likely to start a reality show franchise.
All right. So this one I had a lot of thoughts about. First, I was like, Lewis is too obvious, right? I think that's where everybody would go. He probably actually would have, you know, a reality show, right? He's friends with people that have reality shows, but that seemed too obvious. We can't have that. So then I thought, well, maybe Seudel, because of the whole broken bottle incident, which anytime that happens in a TV show, that is now a Seudel. That is like doing a Seudel. Anytime somebody breaks a bottle and goes to shiv somebody, that's right. Doing a Seudel. I could see that being entertaining. And then I thought, oh, no. Nelson Piquet Jr.'s family. Some Junior Piquet, that would be great, right?
Would be good.
How could the Piquet family not be a great reality show? And again, I ended up settling on Ron Dennis because I think whatever he does in his next endeavor would be fun. Maybe he could do a little undercover boss. Who would want to see Ron Dennis as an undercover boss at something, right? I think that would be great. But, you know, I will hold out. Junior, I think, would be a great idea for a reality
show. Yeah, that would be good. I picked Liberty Media you know, the whole, everybody's saying, Lewis is like, I think F1 should be more American. Oh, okay, well, then if you want it more American, then we got to have some sort of reality TV show. There and I think it'd be like the team bosses of Formula One. It would be like the housewives of Broward County or something, you know?
Except for the team boss of Silverstone, because he's not allowed to leave his house.
Right? Yeah, I'd have to be at Silverstone. Yeah. Because VJ can't leave. Yeah.
Right.
Right. So there you go. So that's who I picked. Most likely to win the Olympics.
I went with Jenson Button.
Ooh.
He already runs triathlons.
That's true.
You know, he's got to keep in shape because Alonso might leave. And he's got a lot of extra time on his hands because I don't think Alonso's going to leave. So I went with Jenson Button. What else is he going to do for a year?
That's good. I went with Lee Diffy because he's already called two Olympics.
That is true.
He did the Sankey Sliding Center,
yes.
And he did the rowing down in Brazil. Remember
that? Would watch them because I'd be like, oh, I know that guy.
It's
yeah.
Lee Diffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much to talk about.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought Lee Diffy would win the Olympics.
That's a good choice.
Most likely to wind up in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I went with Alonso for doing the most laps around the track, not in a car. Although Kimi Räikkönen probably also owns some claims to that, with the same team. But,
yeah, with the same team.
Yeah, right.
So. Right. I chose Sauber. Most seasons without a win or a title in Formula One. Ouch.
True.
That stung.
It does sting.
Yeah. The next one is most likely to become a comedian.
All right, Alex Wurtz, because he's hilarious.
He is funny.
I miss Alex Wurtz. I wish he was back with Williams. He was the highlight of the Williams podcast, in my opinion. He is actually pretty funny. And then I also thought maybe we could get, like, Kimi Räikkönen and Mika Häkkinen together.
Oh.
But they're both straight men, so it would be the Abbott and Abbott show, right?
Right.
Because they'd have to do it in English. I always got the sense, right, I think many people said this, right, because Kimi Räikkönen is asked at the end of a race, and he gives all these one-word monosyllabic answers, and then he gives it in his own native language, and he, like, goes on for 3 hours,
right?
And Mika was the same way. So I like the Abbott and Abbott show, and we'll just send Kimmy and Mika around, and nobody will think it's funny, because it'll be in English, and it'll just be, you know, yes, no, monosyllabic words.
Right. And if you've not went to YouTube and searched for Mika Häkkinen funniest moments, there's this montage of him making jokes that no one gets.
Right.
And it's so funny, because at the time, if you're new to F1 and you didn't watch Mika run at McLaren, you didn't watch post-race interviews and interviews over the weekend, and you don't know his personality, then it won't come across as quite as funny.
Yeah.
But if you did live through that and watch that era, it's hilarious. Because what's so funny is, to me, he was hilarious because I knew his personality. I've watched him so much. I knew his personality. But for whatever reason, the British press just seemed bereft of the comedy humor that was Mika Häkkinen. And he would do these sort of contradictory statements. They'd say, you know, oh, Mika, you know, it looked like it was really easy out there today. How did it go? He goes, oh, yeah, it was so easy. I can't tell you how easy. And he kind of has that little smirk, and no one laughs, no one even chuckles, and he just, no, it was really difficult out there. And they're just not getting him, and it was so funny. So you got to watch that. Okay, next one.
You didn't do yours.
Oh, I didn't do mine. Oh, I got Ricardo, Daniel Ricardo. Oh, he's a cut up. Yeah,
he's pretty funny.
Absolutely,
too.
He's funny.
Yes, because they did. Did you see this when they were in Florida? I think he did a thing with his friends. I have to send you the clip. And I'll put it on Twitter, but it was hilarious because it's, you know, and also because it's always funny because it's people that don't know who he is.
Right.
They're like, oh, that's Daniel Ricciardo. These are just people that are like, I don't know, some dude showed up and wanted me to, like, you know, put hydraulics on his car.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. Okay. Most likely to be sorted into Gryffindor.
I went with Felipe Massa.
Oh, that's good. Good choice.
He's a nice guy.
Nice guy.
I give him some positive feedback. I feel like I'm always so hard on Massa, right?
You are. Okay, I pick Lance Stroll. Didn't Lance Stroll seem like a Gryffindor?
It does sound like a nice, sounds like a nice guy.
Okay. Most likely to be sorted in the House of Ravenclaw.
I went with Juan Pablo Montoya.
Jip him?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
That's what I thought.
Wow. I did Marcus Ericsson. The blonde hair, Luna Lovegood.
Oh, see, you went with a very sort of, you know.
I did. I think his visor is actually Spectre Specs, I think.
That's right.
So, okay, most likely to run off with a circus.
I went with Ross Brawn. in order to keep in order to keep from being found by the F1 circus, he's joined the actual circus.
Oh, there.
Because he doesn't want to come back to the F1 circus. He's got to get away from
there you go. That
fishing
makes sense.
Isn't enough. They found him.
Yeah.
His name keeps coming up again.
Right.
So now he's going to join the actual circus.
Oh, that's funny. I picked Esteban Gutierrez, the Goot.
The Goot.
I just think the Goot, you know.
He'd be good in the circus.
He would. He's going to lose it. And he's going to just go off with the circus. Most likely to become a teacher.
I went with Niki Lauda because your essay is a shit box. F plus, this essay was a shit box. I just think that would be a funny thing to write on somebody's paper.
That's funny. I went with Jacques Villeneuve's former manager and Barf One team principal, Craig Pollock, because
he used to be a ski instructor. Right. Craig Pollock, speaking of people that you haven't heard about in a long time.
I know. So most likely to rule the world.
The Magic 8-Ball. One former Honda team at a time.
There you go. That's good. I went with Zach Brown.
Yes.
That guy went from living in Indiana and Hoosierville to creating a multinational marketing company to running McLaren.
Right.
How the hell did that happen?
I don't know.
That guy.
Yeah.
Zach's a good guy. He's a nice guy. Okay, next one. Most likely to become a ninja.
I went with Kimi Räikkönen because I'm pretty sure he already is one.
Oh, interesting. Now, I'm surprised you missed this one. I went with Adrian Sutil.
Oh, this is suitable.
You know, he can make shurikens out of glass.
That's right.
Broken glass. You know?
He'll shiv Lewis Hamilton before he even knows what happens to him.
He can take you down with a look, Sutil. He's brutal.
That's right.
Most likely to start a band?
I went with Max Verstappen and the Plucky Teens.
Oh, I like that. That's a good band. That would be a good first album. Of course, I went with Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that whole studio at his house.
He actually has an album, doesn't he?
He hangs out with, is it Pharrell, right?
Yeah.
He hangs out, yeah. So he's hooked up, man. Most likely to become a superhero, and what is their superpower?
I went with Daniel Ricciardo. He's already the baby-faced assassin.
Yes.
And he would either be a badass Superman or a less emotionally dramatic Batman. Not sure which, but, you know, sort of somewhere in there, you know. But,
okay.
He's already going to shiv you, and you never know. He'd be smiling the whole time.
That's true. That's good. I went with Bernie Eccleston, and his his superpower is immortality.
Are you thinking ever dying?
Right. Yeah, he's immortality. That's what I went with.
Never going
to
end.
Most likely to dance in a Beyonce music video.
Lewis, he's the only one that actually knows her.
Yeah, that's what I had. Lewis knows her. They're buddies.
Yeah
that's what I
had. I don't know. I think Bernie Eccleston would be a funny choice.
That would be a great choice.
I think I came up with a lot of funnier choices.
I've never seen Lewis dance. I assume he's a good dancer. Most likely to cheer up a teammate.
I went with Perez, and here's why.
Ah.
So have you seen The Hangover, the first one?
Yeah.
So the scene at the end when Kenny Jeong's just like, but did you die? And he just said, so we say that all the time. Like, I can be like, oh God, traffic was horrible. And Flip will go, but did you die? Like, that's the answer to everything.
Right.
And I always joke the former Redskins coach, Mike Shanahan, when he played football, was hit so hard that his kidney, I think it was like wrapped around his spine and he was red last rights. And I always thought that would be the best thing as a coach because anytime your teammates grumbled about running laps, you'd be like, yeah, but did you die? Did you ever have last rights, Red? No, get out there, do some jumping jacks, right?
Right.
So that's why I think Sergio Perez, you know, yeah, but did McLaren dump you after a year? No, I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Did you die? No, keep going, do some jumping jacks.
I like it. Well, I've picked everyone's favorite and most affable Felipe Massa.
There you go.
I think Felipe's got a lot of encouragement for youngsters and teammates.
Yeah.
Most likely to win a Nobel Peace Prize.
This one I totally went for the laughs. I went with Pastor Maldonado. First thing that came to mind, because who shouldn't get a Peace Prize?
Oh, that's good. You'll like my choice, Flavio Briatore.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they could be co-winners. That would be the best. I like that.
They could be like Dylan and not show up to take the award.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's good. Flavio. Jesus Christ.
I love that. Nobody even knew if he knew. Not just when he show up. Does he know? Yeah.
Does anybody get his phone number?
I don't know.
Most likely to open a yoga studio.
I went with Adrian Newey and Mark Webber.
Oh, that's a good combination. I like that. I went with Jaime Alguersuari because he was a DJ.
Right.
And
right.
I figured the natural progression from there.
DJ is yoga.
Is yoga instructor.
Right.
I figured that works. Let's see. Most likely to be a wildlife photographer.
I went with Sebastian Vettel. Just because, you know,
good pick.
He needs a little time in the wildlife. Yeah. Bring it down a notch, man.
Yeah.
Maybe he should go to Mark Webber's URO studio. I don't know. But, you know, I think I could help find his, you know.
That's a good pick. Piece. I was going to go with Lewis because he's got all those pictures of Coco and Roscoe.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
But, you know, I think Vettel's a better pick.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that one's good. Most likely to star in a fitness videos.
I went with Nick Heidfeld because I knew he had to get on here somewhere. I couldn't have a list of like 20 superlatives and not put Nick Heidfeld on the list. So I thought, you know, I wanted to be like Jane Fonda old school fitness video and be Nick Heidfeld.
Oh, that's good. I put Herbie Black.
That's pretty good too. Also old school with the sweatband and you know.
Sweating with the oldies.
Yes.
Sweating to the oldies,
my
right?
Gosh, right?
I thought that would be a good one. And finally, folks, most likely to invent the next, quote, dual diffuser, meaning the most trick thing.
Right. I went with somebody at Mercedes because they still have everybody on their staff. Right.
They just went out and hired everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
That was the plan.
Yeah, that's good. I went with the obvious choice, Adrian Newey.
Yeah.
So I thought that. All right. Well, that does it. Guess what? We're done with our notes.
Woo-hoo.
We can just stuff those in the trash, Grace.
That's right.
And that does it for this podcast. How about that?
That's pretty good.
What a great time it's been having Grace. I literally am 3 feet from Grace, and
that's
this is such a rare situation to be in the same room, just like I was with Paul a few weeks ago. So it's been wonderful to have you in town. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some pizza. We had some cake. We had fun time, had some wine, a nice Domaine Ott, which was really nice.
Very good.
Yep. So,
some toasted raviolis. Don't forget the raviolis.
Yeah, see, in St. Louis, that's all the rage, toasted raviolis. So Grace had never had that, so we had that. But anyway, folks, thanks so much to all of you that are supporting us through our Patreon account. If you aren't doing that and would like to do that, check it out on the right-hand side of our website. It says Support Us, and it has the Patreon. That's a link. You can go there and sign up. Just $1 a month, $3 a month, whatever you can afford, no big deal. But it goes a long way to helping us. So we bought the first round. How about you picking up the second round, folks? And also, thanks so much. If you like the podcast, give us good ratings at iTunes. We have a lot planned in store for 2017. We're excited about 2017. The Patreon account has actual custom content just for Patreon supporters, including a special podcast over there. And at certain levels, we have a Q&A session with just us and that level. And at a certain level, you get a personal Q&A with me once a month. So, hey, you know, some most people consider that an absolute nightmare, but you never know. Maybe someone would like to do that.
Yeah, I get that 4 times a month. It's great.
You do.
Enjoy.
You get it 4 times a month. So, anyway, there's some really cool stuff. And also, give us some love on social media. Spread the news, share the podcast, and thanks so much for the support. It means a lot to us. And Grace, it's awesome having you here.
It's great being here.
Yep, and we'll probably scare either Grace or Paul up, or maybe both. We got a season preview we're working on, and we'll be back to do that next week. So until then, this is Todd, aka Negative Camber, saying so long.
See you next week.
Love winning. I just love racing it.
Well, if there's nothing else, I guess we'll just wing it and fly in, shall we?
Sure, honey.